Abundance, choice, hope. The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day. Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help. Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind before I met you.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
I own my 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 media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members. Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shade.
LGBTQ.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
And we're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR.
And these are the days of our lives. It is Friday, the 21st of April, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Fighting Chance Productions has been around for 10 years now, giving new talent an opportunity to show their stuff while giving audiences a wide variety of musicals, dramas, comedies, sometimes familiar, sometimes controversial, but always entertaining. Fighting Chance founder and artistic director Ryan Mooney will be here to talk about what the last 10 years has meant to him and what the future will hold, including their current production, now on at the Norman Rothstein Theatre. Plus, the usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theatre, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And he's right here, so we'll get right to it. Ryan Mooney, hi.
Hey.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been 10 years.
It's
Fighting
been
Chance
years.
Productions started out 10 years ago.
Yeah, it'll be 10 years exactly in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about what that was like. What got that all started? Now let me just preface this a little bit,
yeah,
because I don't have any kids of my own.
Yeah.
But I have played dad to dozens of actors in Vancouver, and you were one of the first.
I was one of the first.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It wasn't Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Broadway,
it was Broadway Bound.
Broadway Bound.
Yes.
Metro Theater.
The third in the series.
Yeah.
At Metro Theater, 15 years ago.
Probably about 15 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that play. That was fun. You yelled at me, I think.
I think so.
I think I get yelled at a lot on stage.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
talking about this last night. Yeah. yeah, good memories. So, yeah, we started 10 years ago, and the idea was that I wanted to direct what I wanted to direct. Yeah. So being, I guess at the time I was 25, I was getting directing opportunities, but to direct shows that I wasn't passionate about. But I do it because at that age, you just take everything just so that you can get the opportunities. So I wanted to be able to direct things that interested me, that I felt there was an audience for. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you probably remember, there was a lot of big there were groups doing big musicals, right? So Footlight was around then. They did big musicals. Tuts, obviously, still around Royal City. Metro was usually doing musicals at that time. But there wasn't anyone doing small, intimate sort of musicals. Now there's a lot more. 10 years later, there's a lot of groups doing that.
Yeah.
But
That back then, it was everything needed an orchestra or some kind of large thing. And
And it had to be shows people knew.
And
right?
And big chorus. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we started with a play because I thought, well, this will be a little bit easier. We don't have to worry about the music. Don't have to worry about, you know, really expensive royalties. We started with a Neil LaBute play called Autobahn. Mm-hmm. And it was 7 scenes that all take place in the front seat of a car. So our set was a steering wheel and car seats that were actually out of my friend Jen, who, you know, Jen Serratos, her dad's or no, her brother-in-law's van. We borrowed the back of his seat or something like that. So we rehearsed in my living room because you didn't need any place, you know, big. It's just 2 people sitting there the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, we did it at the Beaumont Studios, which I think is, they still do shows there, but not as frequent.
No, it's more of a gallery now,
And it was great. It was great. We did a 2-week run. We sold really well. We had 14 people in the show, and it was just an absolute pleasure. And from there, we did the first musical, which was Side by Side by Sondheim. So it's 3 people, 2 pianos, and that's it.
Yeah.
No big sets or anything like that. And at the time, I remember we had something like 60 people audition for it. Like, it was just a large, massive amount of people. And that's sort of one of the things where I thought, okay, well, there's a need for this sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Smaller cast type things. And so that was our first 2 shows in a row.
Yeah. And then the next season, you started getting into a little bit more, not necessarily edgy, but controversial material. And I'm thinking specifically about the Laramie Project.
Yeah.
Because you had a very famous figure at the time, Fred Phelps, threatened to come up and protest.
Yeah, it's a funny story because I don't think of Laramie Project being controversial.
No.
But it became this big thing. And what we didn't know at the time, so this was 2008, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the internet was around, but it wasn't in the, you couldn't get the information the same way you can now, right? So at the time, all that we knew was that he had posted on his website, someone brought it to our attention that he was...
And for those who don't know, we're talking about the Westboro Baptist Church, which is the organization from Kansas that goes out and protests funerals of soldiers. They're the God Hates Fags guys.
Yeah, those charming fellows.
Yeah.
So they posted on their website. He is portrayed, because the Laramie Project is about Matthew Shepard, so a gay guy who in 1998 was beat and tied to a fence, left for dead. So they protested his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And the Laramie Project basically portrays that scene. So they hate the play because they feel it portrays them in a negative light.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the play that's portraying them in a negative light. But anyway, so they posted on their website that they were going to come to Vancouver and protest the show,
right?
That they were going to bring all their signs and everybody. And we got wind of this, and so we assumed that this was legitimate.
Yeah.
And so we, the media was contacted. We were like the lead story on the CBC News that night. We had a huge counter protest rally. Someone involved with it, and there was all of a sudden what happened was a bunch of people wanted to get involved and make this not happen. So people were calling the border saying, like, don't let them across. We don't know, the border doesn't give any news on whether or not people tried to cross and they get denied, right? So we don't know if they ever tried to come. What we found out in years later was that they do this with almost every production. They just scan the internet for, you know. But for us, it was fantastic because it was great publicity.
Well, I always thought that you owed them a big thank you card.
We talked about sending them a thank you card with some shirtless men or something.
Or a full page ad in the New York Times or something.
Totally. Well, it was. I mean, it really was. But you sort of like you play the hand you're dealt type thing, right? And so we just thought, well, A, if this is true, we should be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Right? And B, if we get some extra publicity out of it, that's free. And at that time, I think that was our 4th or 5th show, and you know, we had no money, right? So it was great publicity for us in that regard. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know,
and it was an electric. I remember we had a crowd on Commercial Drive, and there must have been. It was pouring rain that night. I remember it was just pouring rain. We did it in a park, so it was wet and damp. And but I remember the cast ended up. We did a show that night, and they ended up. They could hear it while they were doing their warm-ups, like the chanting and the like the cheers from outside in the Havana. So
wow.
It was just an electric evening.
Yeah. So
it was
like
very
it
cool.
Turned out to be a rally of support.
It's a great memory.
Yeah.
And I still keep in contact with a lot of that cast, and it's certainly something that comes up quite
mm-hmm.
a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of cast, it's a good segue into just sort of the mission of Fighting Chance Productions
yeah.
itself. You know, you have it in your mandate that you have half of your cast of every production are new people.
Yeah. So we are in our 47th show right now.
Yeah.
And in that time, whether the cast has been two people or the cast has been, you know, I guess the biggest cast, we just did a concert of Ragtime, and it was about 50 people in the show. And it's always half. Mm-hmm. Always at least half have to be new. Now, I'm not going to pick people who aren't talented to fulfill that mandate.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the goal is we didn't want to become a rep company. We
yeah.
didn't want to become a group that uses the same people. And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
And you do have it's people just, that have been with you the whole
absolutely.
Way through. You mentioned Jen Serratos.
Yeah, there's people who have been involved in shows, you know, 15,
yeah.
16 shows, right? But the goal is always to try and get new talent. And I think that's what a lot of our audiences, as well as the reviewers, you know, the reviewers will come and they'll say, where did you find these people? That I've never seen them before. And that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
The goal is to give people that opportunity, and hopefully they do a couple shows and then they go do other fantastic stuff, you know. But the goal was always to sort of give people that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, where do you find them?
We just put the word out. I don't know. They just come to us. I don't honestly, I think because we do so many shows,
yeah,
right, we're always auditioning for something.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone moves to the city, right, they just graduated or they just decided to move here for some film and TV, but they love theater. So I think we're often the first stop for a lot of people when they move here, because
right.
we're always there's always auditions, or there's auditions announced, or there's auditions coming up, or we're looking for people.
Oh, yeah.
So
we announce the auditions from the public
yeah.
library auditions page.
Yeah.
I read them out here every week, and there's
yeah.
always something from Fighting
yeah.
Chance.
Yeah, and so I think that's a bonus, right?
Yeah.
Because we get people, and then you know, if you're, you know, a group that does one big show a year, right? Well, you're only auditioning one time a year. So
yeah.
you're only seeing people at a particular moment in time. Whereas for us, we're just seeing people constantly,
mm-hmm.
right? And also, I try to go to see a lot of theater. So I think that helps too, because I will try to go to see stuff and then, you know, discover people.
Yeah.
I went to a show a few weeks ago out in Abbotsford. Like, I went all the way out to Abbotsford to see a musical that they were doing. And yeah, it was nice, because then you're like, oh, this is like an untapped resource potentially that, like, you know, Abbotsford isn't that far from where we rehearse. I mean, it's not close, but you know, if people want to do a show, they'll travel for a show, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And your current show is on right now. You said you just opened on Wednesday night.
We did, yeah.
It's
so
called Parade.
Parade. So it's Jason Robert Brown, who yeah. I guess most famous for the last 5 years, because that was turned into a movie, and a guy named Alfred Urey, who wrote the book for Driving Miss Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a man named Leo Frank, who is he was a Jewish man married to a Jewish Southern woman in the South in 1913. But he was from the North, so he was a Yankee. And he was a manager of a pencil factory. This is a true story. And he went to work one day, and he went home. And that night, the police showed up at his house, and they said, you have to come with us. And they took him to the factory, and there was one of his employees, a 13-year-old girl, murdered on the basement floor of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So being the South, post-Civil War South, and a Yankee man, he was sort of one of the suspects.
Right.
And the story basically talks about him and his wife and how they find or renew their love for each other against this horrific event that's happening to him. And this horrific tragedy of the little girl,
yeah.
right? So it's not just that he was sort of falsely accused of it, falsely accused, convicted, you know, sentenced to hang, but also, you know, how that is dealt with within a community, and, you know, within a community that wants answers,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they didn't really, you know, the musical is fantastic, but there's a lot of stuff it doesn't touch on, obviously. You only have 2.5 hours or whatever. But, you know.
It sounds more like an opera than just a musical.
It's operatic in its
yeah.
in its themes, but it's a beautiful, beautiful show. And, yeah, we had some fantastic reviews, so.
Great. And you've got a couple of friends of the show in the cast. You've got Sean Anthony and and Christine Reinfort.
Yes. So they're engaged, and they are also in the show together. So Sean we cast, and then we were looking for a woman, and he said, you know, Christine might be interested. So she emailed, and I've never worked with her before. I worked with Sean. We did Jesus Christ Superstar together.
Oh, yeah.
And he was our pilot, and he was fantastic. Yeah. And I just love him on stage. Yeah. So.
Christine and I were in the Ensemble Theater last year.
Of course.
Romans
of course.
In Britain. And, and what was the other one? The Constant Wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, she's wonderful. Yeah. She's wonderful. They're just good energy. I mean,
they are. Yeah.
That's what I find with a lot of our shows is we just get people because they're shows that people want to do. They've heard them. They've grown up with them or whatever. They really love to do them, and I think that's the most fantastic part about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Country Wife. That's what it was.
Country Wife. Got to get it right.
Never mind.
Got to get it right.
That was last year.
Yeah.
So it's playing at the Norman Rothstein right now.
Norman Rothstein Theater. Yeah. We have 10 more performances. Yeah. We have this weekend and then next week till Saturday. Right. Yeah.
And also at the Rothstein is a big gala 10th anniversary concert next week.
Yeah. So this is something I wanted to do. We did it on our 5-year. And it was really small. We did it at the Jericho. There's about 100 people. But we wanted to just sort of celebrate 47 shows, you know, we have, I think, like 60 people involved in it, singing and dancing and stuff. We have some videos from people who aren't in town, but who, you know, have connections to the company. And I think it's going to be a really neat event. Yeah. I've helped put it together, but I'm not performing. I'm not speaking or anything. I'm just going to get to sit and watch it, which I'm really, really excited about.
Great.
Yeah.
And I'll just go through a partial list of some of the shows you've done in case anyone has actually seen any of these and want to relive those moments. We talked about Audubon, the Laramie Project, Rent.
Yeah, Rent.
Sweeney Todd, The Wiz, A Funny Thing Happened at the Way to the Forum.
Yeah.
Grey Gardens, Little Shop of Horrors, Rocky Horror. Spring Awakening, which I have to mention because I was in.
Yeah, you were in that.
Yes,
did you enjoy your Fighting Chance experience?
I love that. I had a great time. Yeah. I have to say, working in a Fighting Chance production, and I can't say, there was only the one time I did it, so I can't say this about everything, but working on Spring Awakening, it was the most cohesive cast that I have ever worked with. Everybody was... it was like they were all best friends growing up.
Yeah.
And they got a chance to work together. But, you know,
it was like
in any show, they started out practically as strangers and came together throughout the process.
That one was a very special show for me. And I think for everybody involved in it, right? And it's nice to hear you say that because you were one of two, shall we say, of a separate generation.
Well, there were two adults and everybody else was in their early 20s or teenagers.
And they're all, what's so neat about that to me, sorry, just to go on a tangent for a second, but is that they're all now, like Julian, who was in that show, just graduated from Studio 58.
He's at Bart.
Yeah, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But so many of them. Greg is out at Sheridan. Brittany did Randolph. Vanessa is at Cap now. And so all of them, it was at the beginning of their careers. And that I think, was what was so neat about that show. And, you know, I don't think there's anyone in that show that I don't really, you know, keep in touch with now and then. And it was just a really neat experience to see them and now see them. Like, I've seen a couple of Julian shows at Studio 58, and I saw Greg and I saw Brittany do a show in Toronto. And so it's so neat to get to see them, you know, now growing even more.
Yeah, I remember on closing night. We always had like a little prayer circle before the show started, just everybody holding hands and doing that bonding moment. And I said, just remember where you are and who you're with right now and the feeling you have with this.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't always happen.
No, it was you know, a special.
It's very special, very rare. You're very lucky to have this experience in this early in your careers and carry it with you because
Yeah, and I find a lot of them are like that. You know, it's just, and I mean, just different shows. That show is so emotional and so, you know, beautiful and sweet, especially the way we did it with, you know, the candles and everything. But, you know, I don't know. I think someone said to me once, and this isn't trying to be cocky or anything like that, but someone said, you know, it starts from the top, right? They're like, if you bring that, you know, if you are, you know, welcoming and such, and you are, then that makes a big difference within, you know, if the director just comes in, doesn't say anything, does the work and then leaves, that's a different story. But that stuck with me for a long, long time.
Yeah. Wonderful. Ryan Mooney, thanks so much
for coming in.
If you want to know more, you go to fightingchanceproductions.ca, head up to the Norman Rothstein to see Parade this week, and then go to the 10th anniversary concert next week. And coming up in a couple of months, Art Bergman's going to be playing the Rickshaw. So let's listen to him. new take on an old favorite. That's Art Bergman with the Hospital Song. Art will be playing at the Rickshaw in May, Friday, May 19th. And tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can get them at all the favorite venues, Red Cat Records, Zulu Records, High Life. Who else? You know, the usual places. Neptune has them, or you can get them online at ticketfly.com.
May 5th, Doxa Documentary Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM, along with Discorder Magazine, present Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. Featuring music icons Charlie Patton, Mildred Bailey, Link Wray, Jimi Hendrix, Jesse Ed Davis, Buffy St. Marie, Robbie Robertson, and others, Rumble shows how these talented Native musicians help shape the soundtracks of our lives. That's May 5th at Van City Theater. For more information and showtimes, visit doxafestival.ca.
This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Do you fancy yourself as an artist, entertainer, or storyteller? Do you want to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio or Christopher Nolan? Well, the UBC Players Club would like to work with you. The Players Club is an ambitious amateur theater group and the perfect place to get involved in theater or gain more experience as an actor, director, designer, producer, or anything and everything else theater related. Our motto, Theater on Your Own Terms, means the club is entirely student-run and formed around the ambitions of its members. Find us on Facebook or at ubcplayersclub.com.
If you find yourself in New Westminster tomorrow night, head on down to the Heritage Grill on Columbia Street, because our old pals, the Mud Bay Blues Band, are going to be playing.
The last one. Trouble you in now.
If you have ever been to the Railway Club in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, you will remember Stan the Doorman, the smiling face at the top of the stairs, once mentioned in Rolling Stone magazine as Bryan Adams' favorite doorman. And a bunch of Stan's friends are coming together at the Fairview Pub tomorrow night to hold a big party just to celebrate Stan. This is not a benefit. Stan does not want or need charity. But we want and need Stan. So this is a celebration filled with some of Stan's favorite bands to lure him from his reclusiveness. Apparently, Stan has not been getting out much lately. So if we throw a big party, maybe he will come. So it's a gathering of musicians, friends, and community from our cherished past. All proceeds go to the performers, sponsored by Off the Rail Brewing. And it's going to be all kinds of fun. Performers include Harma White, the Murphy Brothers with Mac Jackets, the Slip-Ons, Anna Bon Bon, the new V2s, Billy Hopeless, many, many more, including the Nervous Fellows. It's tomorrow night at the Fairview Pub at Broadway and Heather. Here's the Nervous Fellows.
On Sunday at the Cambrian Hall on 17th and Main, Opera Pro Cantante presents an open rehearsal of Macbeth by Giuseppe Verdi. Admission is free. Now, Opera Pro Cantanti is Vancouver's community opera organization. They last presented its fully staged and costumed production of Shakespeare's Macbeth, Verdi's operatic version of Shakespeare's Macbeth, in September of 2014. Let's see here. The OPC cast currently consists of veterans who perform the opera up to 30 or more times and hardworking newcomers who are deeply into the laborious task of learning the words and music. They are planning to return a full staging of Macbeth in the near future, but this Sunday they're inviting you to sit in and watch a rehearsal, a run-through of all or nearly all the music in more or less the proper order. Many will still be looking at the score from time to time, probably more for the words than the music, but the time for that is nearly over. Since this is a rehearsal, there will be a longer passages of gloriously flowing sound, sometimes interrupted by typical rehearsal comments. But it'll be entertaining for you and for the cast as well. So check it out. It's Sunday. Doors open at 6:30. The rehearsal starts at 7 o'clock at the Cambrian Hall at 17th and Main Street. And let's hear some more music. Here's a good friend of ours who's going to be performing in the next couple of weeks. This is Mark D'Souza, a new CD from a new song from his release, Tarot Card Shuffle, and this is Tell the Truth.
Yeah.
So that's Mark D'Souza. He's going to be playing tonight at Trees Coffee House on Granville and Hastings, 8 o'clock sharp, no cover. He'll be performing along with Kaylee McCarter and Emily Morris and Michael Fabreau. So that's quite a lineup, and that's happening tonight starting at 8 o'clock at Trees Organic on Granville and Hastings. Here's somebody I bumped into at a movie party a couple of weeks ago, Land of Deborah. Make you smile. Would it be all right if I stayed around and played a while? Yes, I might be crazy, yes, I might be foolish. Even if I found my mind, I wouldn't use it. Just an empty space between my ears. That's all there is. Would it be all right if I tried to make you fly? Yes, my heart is open. Yes, I think I've fallen. Even though I'm standing still, I'm sinking deeper in. I'm sinking. Show me another way. Show me another take on it. Show me another way to let you, let you. Here's one for you friends of Dorothy, or at least fans of Dorothy. End of the Rainbow by Peter Quilter is going to be on at the Jericho Arts Center starting next week. End of the Rainbow is a true account of the last comeback attempt by Judy Garland in 1968. It's a glimpse into the performance itself, as well as some behind-the-scenes things around her life and her relationship with her fifth husband, Mickey Deans. So it's led by a stunning performance of Judy Garland by Janet Gialatti, and It also features Jeff Hoffman, Gordon Roberts, and Matthew Simmons, directed by Claude Giraud. It's happening at the Jericho Arts Center. Starts on Wednesday, April 26th, goes through May 20th. And you can get more information by going to Brown Paper Tickets or JerichoArtsCenter.com. And also, in conjunction with that, the Jericho always has art in the lobby for all of their productions. And want to especially point out that if you go see End of the Rainbow, you will also see some fantastic photography by our friend John R. Taylor. John is known as an actor, a director, a set designer, but he's also a very creative photographer. His photographs look just like paintings. It is quite astonishing. You have to see it to believe it. The depth and the detail of the work of John's photography. So make sure you take that in when you head out to see any show at the Jericho Arts Center for the next couple of months. So, the play is called End of the Rainbow, and it starts on Wednesday night.
What's even better than Record Store Day? What about a day after Record Store Day party? The day after Record Store Day in the daytime, and you can bring a date or make it a day by hanging out from 2 to 7 p.m. CITR Radio 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine are teaming up with CJSF 90.1 FM for the first ever Record Store Day after party on April 23rd. A one-stop shop all-day record fair with local vendors and performances by Co-op, Jerk Jail, Sad Photography, Elisa Thorne, and Pale Red. One update, the party has moved to the Astoria at 769 East Hastings. Unfortunately, it's no longer an all-ages party, but you can tune in to listen to the live broadcast from 3 to 6 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM or CJSF 90.1 FM all day. Save the date. Make it a day.
Tune in to CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around, along with a good measure of vintage new wave, punk, and disco to kick off your weekend. That's Radio Zero, Friday afternoons at 2 on 101.9 FM, CITR.
From Russia, weekly punk rock radio show on CITR, presented to you by Stomp Records from Montreal. Every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
So do you like the Shakespeare? Do you like the improv? You can put the two together in Shakespeare After Dark, the highbrow fusion of Shakespeare served with an aside of improvisational mischief. In the first half, you witness a scene from The Bard utterly monkey-wrenched by an utterly punch-drunk cast member, leaving the rest of the cast to improvise around them. Then stick around for the second half, where the cast lays the booze aside to serve a straight-up Shakespearean tragedy based on your suggestions, with a genuinely drunken professional actor volunteering every night. No two shows are ever the same. Side-splitting, raucous, and completely interactive, Shakespeare After Dark will blow you away, and that's tomorrow night at the Havana Theater Restaurant on Commercial Drive. Show starts at 10:30. All right, it's time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors to productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. North Van Community Players, doing Yesteryear by Joanna McClellan Glass. And that is going to be happening in May and early June at the theater in Henry Hall. They are still looking for a Bob, an actor in his early 20s, to play Bob Ramsey. Shy, awkward, young, and gawky. Contact the director, Val Mason, at 604-313-3763. Now, this does happen sometimes, all in the theater community. You'll get two companies putting on productions of the same play. Now, They're not exactly going on exactly together. One will be happening in August and one will be happening in October, but it's pretty close. The auditions are happening pretty close to each other as well. Yeah, the play is called, it's actually a musical. It's called 13 by Jason Robert Brown. Bring On Tomorrow is going to be producing it in September at the Waterfront, directed by two friends of the show, Lelanya Lindberg-Strello and Chris Adams. And their auditions are happening this weekend, tomorrow and Monday, April 22nd and 24th. And this is a show that is cast entirely with teenagers. They're looking for people who are actual teenagers between the ages of 13 and 19. So if you want more information on that, you can go to bringontomorrowco@gmail.com or contact Chris. He's at 778-991-3350. The second production is Eternal Theater, and they are producing 13 in August at the Review Stage on Granville Island. Their auditions are happening in early May. So if you want to know about that, you can go to eternaltheater.com. So that's 13 the musical, two chances to get in on that one. Green Room Theater Camp is happening in September. And their auditions are going on now until May the 5th. They're not auditioning. They're looking for a director. They're currently seeking a creative, organized director who is familiar with the devised process and is passionate. This is the devised process. This is the process where the script is devised by the people involved and who's passionate with working with youth. Green Room Theater Camp is a six-week summer camp based out of Surrey. Campers are taught the entire life cycle of a theatrical production and devise their own show, which they perform for hundreds of their peers in the grand finale at the end of August. So if you're a director and you're interested in working with young people and you want to help out with this one, contact Jackie. And she is at greenroomtheatercamp.com. And speaking of theater camps, there's Camp Shakespeare, produced by Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance Musical Theater Summer Program. Chris McGregor is going to be running that, and that is happening in two groups, one in July, one in August. Auditions are still going on at the Jewish Community Center at 41st and Oak, also looking for folks between the ages of 9 and 19. More information at www.jccgv.com. Peninsula Productions in White Rock doing Sean McDonald's Sea of Stories. Auditions in happening this month. Looking for young performers between 15 and 30 who are in school for full-time, returning to full-time school in September. This is, they're looking for someone with a background or training in the arts with an ability to sing, dance, and play an instrument. And so if you want to know more about that, go to peninsulaproductions.org. And look for the Sea of Stories audition notice. In New West, Alchemy Theater and Vagabond Players doing Shakespeare's Love's Labor's Lost, directed by Matthew Davenport. That's happening in August. The auditions are this weekend at the Burnie Lake Theater in Queen's Park in New Westminster. You can also check out alchemytheater.ca for more information on that. The Evergreen Cultural Center doing a show about Canada. It's called Canada 150, and it is written and directed by Mandy Tulloch. It's happening in September, and the auditions are on the 7th and 12th of May at the Evergreen Cultural Center in Coquitlam. Looking for a wide variety of skill levels and experience, actors, dancers, singers, and martial artists. And so that is something to check out. Also, now this is for Christmas time. This is the Nutcracker, but it's Go Ballet, and they are doing their auditions in May. So you'll be ready for that. And that is happening at the Scotiabank Dance Center on Davie Street. If you want more information, contact Go Ballet at GOHBALLET.com. Vagabond Players doing Little Shop of Horrors in October at the Burnie Lake Theater in New West. The auditions are in May, and if you are interested in that, they suggest that you familiarize yourself with either the stage or movie version of the play. I think it's on Netflix, so you can find it somewhere. I think they actually have a DVD of the library, Little Shop of Horrors. Anyway, if you want to know more, you go to vagabondplayers.ca/auditions. And the last one is Place des Arts, Summer Teen Theater Troupe. Place des Arts is in Coquitlam. They're doing Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream under the direction of Kevin Bennett, a company of 10 young actors between 15 and 18. And they will be performing at Town Center Park Plaza. The show will run in July, and the auditions are happening at the end of May on the 28th at Place des Arts in Coquitlam. And friend of the show, Michael Farah, is involved with that, so you can contact him at M-F-E-R-A, M-Farah, at placedesarts.ca. If you want to know details on these or any other audition notices, you go to Vancouver Arts Guide, VancouverActorsGuide.com, or Vancouver Public Library at VPL.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Got time for one more tune. This is Brastronaut. Damn, I hit the wrong button. So I guess we're saying goodbye now. That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Stick around. Fresh Slice is up next, followed by Radio Zero at 2, and then at 3:30, it's Napkin Boy with Nardwar the Human. Serviette presents at 3:30. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you stuff it in your face.
Don't stuff it in your face.
Though it might look good to eat.
Though it might look good to eat.
And it might look good to taste.
And it might look good to taste.
You could get sick.
Yuck.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth. Put it in your ear.
Ick! Don't you